My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
They're longtime friends.
Let me tell you something real quick about Dibs that I'm sure not everybody knows.
And first-time partners.
Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Now these two homegrown Bay Area boys finally come together to take over sports talk.
Get the hell off of my doorstep.
Major League Baseball, you stink.
It's Willard and Dibs. On 95.7, The Game.
Right away, say hi, Granny. Turn your microphone on and say
what's
hi.
Up?
All right. You're here. We're here. Let's do this. Dibs is out for the rest of the week. And Dibs, if you're listening to us while you're driving, hey, we love you. Drive safe. But you're probably not listening. So here's what we're doing today. Tim Calcami's going to join us at the top of the hour, 3 o'clock. Okay, he's super dialed in on all of this. Andrew Siciliano, who is obviously a national NFL guy, did the DirecTV Red Zone version for a long, long time. NFL Network until last year, still a large voice in the industry. He's going to join us at 4 o'clock. And the number is 888-957-9570. And I always say this, like, you know, whenever we do a show kind of like this, Dibs is out. That's more room for you, although I don't want to make it sound like it's a solo show. Grandy's here. Lucas is here. We're going to chat. But I will set the table with this. So, Lucas, you sent out the tweet yesterday. Let me know. Look up the number of impressions on that quote that you sent out from me yesterday. And I think part of it is because people in Pittsburgh got made aware of this tweet and it really got them going. And I'll read it, but do you have the number of impressions that we've got on that tweet as of right now?
We are sitting at 201,000.
Okay. 201,000 impressions, basically a written quote of me ripping Brandon Ayuk. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. The humble brag, I guess. 201,000 impressions because I said that Brandon's a pain in the rear. I'm just paraphrasing my own quote. He's a pain in the rear. This whole experience has changed my mind. Do not hitch your wagon to this player. Move on. No extension for Brandon Ayuk. And that got a lot of impressions. The reason I bring it up is because there was one question that repeatedly got asked in the process of that tweet and that quote, which is, why don't you have the same energy for Trent? Why didn't you have the same energy for Nick last year? Why didn't you have the same energy for Debo 2 years ago? And here's why. These situations could not be more different. I teach classes at Academy of Art, and at Cal Poly. And they ask you at the beginning of each semester, Grandy, they ask you, make sure you post your rules, like your accepting late work policy. And I'm always like, I'm really hesitant to post a late work policy. Reason being, my policy for Billy is going to be different than my policy for Rachel. I'm not going to have the same policy because they are going to have different reasons for why they were late. If Rachel comes to me and says, I didn't get my assignment in last week, my dad had a heart attack. But Billy says, I didn't get my assignment in last week, I'm really having a hard time budgeting my time. Am I supposed to give those two people the exact same policy? I'm not going to give those two people the exact same policy. One of you, I'm going to give compassion. I'm going to type some sort of an email back that says, family first, you let me know if there's anything I can do for you, and you talk to me when you're ready. The other student is going to get a, what are you doing? Like, you're an adult. This is college. It's pull your head out of your new, I'm not actually going to email that, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're going to get your stuff together. I'm not excusing you because you just decided, whoops, couldn't do it. And that to me applies very, very much so in this situation. What do, and I'd love to hear from everyone on this, 888-957-9570. Maybe your answer is nothing. What do you find different about the Brandon situation versus the Trent or the Nick or the Debo? How would you answer that?
Well, comparing Trent and Brandon, first of all, because those are the two that are happening right now, the way that they've gone about it is entirely different. Trent has been entirely in private. There's been nothing out in public. That might be a better way to go about it. It might be a worse way to go about it. I guess we'll ultimately see how it happens. The biggest difference for me, Willard, and this also goes back to Nick Bosa last year and probably Debo Samuel the year prior to that, and maybe even George Kittle and Fred Warner. Trent Williams and Nick Bosa, they're the best players in the NFL at their positions, or at the very least, they are one of. Maybe Nick Bosa last year didn't have as good of a season, but he was coming off of Defensive Player of the Year. He was incredible, and he got paid like the highest non-quarterback ever, as he should. Trent Williams, getting up there in age, but still the greatest left tackle in the NFL, is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Brandon Ayuk, coming off the first all-pro season of his career, no doubting he's good, but is he a top five receiver in the league? No, you can make a case he's not even a top 10 receiver in the league. So that's a major difference. I mean, the Niners would love to feel comfortable paying Brandon Ayuk $34 million a year, but the fact is, he's just simply not worth that because he's not at the top of his position like others are. It was something Guru brought up during the crossover. Even the Cowboys that we're talking about here, handled their big problem with CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb's better than Brandon Ayuk. If the Niners had CeeDee Lamb, they'd be willing to pay him maybe a little bit more than they'd be willing to pay Ayuk. So much of this is just the stature of these two players as well.
Yeah, you nailed it. You nailed it. So, those, like, answers number one and two are A, Trent Williams, Nick Bosa, to a degree, Debo Samuel. I know Debo scrubbed his Instagram, but those players did not take direct, early, public shots at the organization. That's number one. Number two, Nick Bosa and Trent Williams can easily argue, whether you agree with them or not, can easily argue that they are both the best player at their position in the entire game. Brandon Ayuk cannot make either of those arguments. And then you go about sort of unpacking what we don't know. And this is where my mind always goes. And I still have all kinds of questions about this. And I can't wait to ask Tim Kawakami about it because I think he might be able to shed some light. But what is literally one of the themes that we love to use on this show? When you've got something mysterious going on with a sports team, and you're listening to press conferences, you're listening to sports radio, you're watching games, and you're trying to figure out what the hell's going on, don't listen to their words. Watch their actions. So here we are. We've had Tweet Deck 2024, and we've got high-level reporters, no-level reporters, YouTubers, radio people, TV, everybody's telling you, hey, well, here's what's actually happening on the inside. Here's what's those. And then we got press conferences from Kyle and John. Those are all words. What are their actions? They held a draft and picked two new wide receivers. And then they got to free agency and they signed another wide receiver. And then they got to roster cut down day and they brought in another recent former second-round pick, put him on the practice squad, started answering questions about him and telling everybody that they think he's just a phenomenal football player.
They were high on him out of college.
They've been high on him for 3 years. Terrace Marshall, by the way, the guy we're talking about. And then what is their action yesterday? Sure, you can do their words. Oh, we love Brandon. And the expectation is he'll be out there on the field.
Well, their words yesterday were actually pretty strong, too.
Yeah, their words were strong, but they're nowhere near as strong as their actions, because I think, as you adeptly pointed out earlier today, their words were simply just their words. And in a way, I'm not going to call them lies, but they're packaged words. Oh, we expect him to be out there. No, they don't. They didn't expect him to be out there. The expectation is that he'll be out there. Let me give a different word to it. The rule is that he's out there.
We told him, time to show up.
Yep. And he broke the rule. And so now you suffer the punishment. Brandon has been medically cleared. The expectation is that he'll show up, as it is for all of our players. And now the punishments and the fines will begin. Oh, and what's their other action? It's a non-action. They haven't signed him. This is, you guys are all right. This is not that complex. It's not that complex of a deal. If CD and Justin are over here, and Jaylen Waddle and Amon-Ra are over here, and Devontae Smith is sitting over there, this is not a difficult deal. So why haven't they done it? Why haven't they done it? And that's sort of where my question lies. Like, all of the reports, oh, we're trying to get something done. We're trying to get something. Are you? Your actions suggest that maybe Brandon's ridiculous statement from earlier this summer is actually true. They don't really want him. Certainly not at that number. They don't really want him. It's what their actions are suggesting. That's what, that's how Brandon feels. And I know that doesn't make any sense to us because we're like, well, he's good and you're trying to win a Super Bowl this year. But at the end of it all, it isn't just about this year for the 49ers. It is about a much, much bigger picture. And we've effectively not been able to tie this to other players like I wish we could. You know, I wonder how many people would still answer, sign Brandon, if it were just a black letter fact. If you sign Brandon, you lose Debo. You want him?
Well, it could also be impacting Trent Williams' negotiation.
Of course it could. Of course it could.
And what they said, I don't know exactly when it was, maybe a month ago now, we want to get Ayuk sorted out first, then we'll get to Trent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happens with Ayuk and how much money they guarantee him next year, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, who knows how long this Trent thing is going to go for, but it's going to impact the amount of money that they're going to be able to give Trent.
Yeah.
And you want Trent on this team? Yes.
Have to.
So you have to try to structure the IU contract around what makes that all possible. And maybe there's Diamador Lenore. Maybe there's Mooney Ward. Maybe one of these rookies coming up that look really good right now in the future. Maybe that impacts that. You never really know how wide reaching these contract extensions could ultimately be.
I just, gosh, I wish I knew what it was that that Brandon and his agent are trying to achieve. I really do. I wish I knew what it was they were trying to achieve. You can think it's fair, unfair. We can believe whichever reports that we want. But the bottom line, and check this, 415 just texted in, Xfinity Mobile text line. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for interacting. And the text is, they're not different. All enabled by the Niners and the NFL. All right, I don't agree with that. I've said a number of times, I don't think the Niners handled this perfectly. So was it enabled by them on some level? I think you could have a point there. But as to whether or not this is a different negotiation, if this is different behavior by the player, to me, there's no question that it is. I have drawn a line in the sand on these types of situations throughout the years, and I start my thought process with pro player. Every time.
Especially in the NFL.
Mainly in the NFL. Non-guaranteed contracts, absurd physicality, CTE. Like, it's absurd. They choose it, so I'm not putting compassion toward that. You choose it. But an example. Go back to when the thought process out of the draft. Remember when the stories came out and it's like, well, they're gonna sign Brandon to an extension and they're gonna cut Debo at the end of the year. I never heard anybody go, that's not fair. You can't cut Debo. He's still got a year left on his deal. You have to honor that contract. 49. Nobody said a damn word. And you're all okay with that. You're all okay with them cutting Debo because they're allowed to. So why aren't you allowed to do what Trent Williams is doing? That's why I back Trent. That's why I backed Debo. And it's why I backed Brandon at the beginning. You have to get whatever you can get. But whatever he can get has now been offered to him. Like 8 different ways. And we still sit here now. And so that's where I feel this got to a very, very unfair place. 888-957-9570. When is too much? Too much. When is the most talented player in the room no longer worth it? Who do you liken this to throughout Bay Area sports? There are some names. Look at the way the Warriors have handled Draymond Green. They have repeatedly decided, you know what, he's worth the headache. He's worth the headache. Is Brandon worth the headache? 888-957-9570. We'll take some calls next. Tim Kawakami joins us at 3. Glad you're with us. Grandy's hanging out. Lucas is hanging out. Dibs is out. It's Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
You know what we should do, Grandy? And glad you're with us, Willard and Dibs. Tim Kawakami in less than a half hour. It'd be fun to put together like a compilation just in the last 24 hours of things that feel like veiled shots from the 49ers at Brandon.
That might take me like 5 hours.
It would take you a while. But like, there's too many for it to not be a thing, right? I know we're the media. We are guilty sometimes of like,
Let's read between the lines.
I get it. We deserve that sometimes. People are like, dude, shut up. Like, there's nothing there. But it happened like 8 times yesterday. And one of them, most of you probably never heard. Even if you were so dialed into 95.7 The Game and we were carrying Kyle Shanahan live and John Lynch live. And if you didn't at least think that both of them looked like they hadn't slept all night, then you just missed it. They both look like they've just, as my mom used to say when I was a kid, had it up to here. They have had it up to here. Brandon, go to your room. So there's at minimum that. But were they taking, like when they asked John Lynch about Terrace Marshall, and a lot of you are probably like, who the hell's Terrace Marshall? Terrace Marshall, second round pick out of LSU for the Panthers 3 years ago. He ends up on the Niners practice squad. And they asked John Lynch about it, and he's just talking about Terrace Marshall. And all of a sudden he's like, we just think that here is a great place for wide receivers.
You want to hear it?
Yeah, play it.
Yeah, here it is.
That's just a good football player. We were very fortunate to get in the building. I don't know what went on in Carolina. You know, I know that I got on the phone with Terrence along with Leonard Hankerson and Kyle and just told them about the way we do things, what we thought of him coming out of college, and that this could be a great landing spot for him. He's going to have to earn everything, but it's a fun place for receivers to come and thrive. And whatever your best is, I think you'll find it here. So we're excited for that opportunity.
I'm like, wait a minute. Here is a great place for wide receivers to thrive. Whatever your best is, you'll find it here. The only part I didn't like about that, Grandy, he called him Terrence, didn't he? His name's not Terrence.
It's Terrace. Correct.
It's Terrence with no N. I'm pretty sure John Lynch is like, we love the player. Don't know his name, but we love the player.
That LSU wide receiver. All of them. They're all great.
Odell Marshall. Is that who we just signed?
He's also a junior, by the way. That junior seems to have slipped off a lot of people's naming.
Whatever. You know, a couple letters here and there. Who's counting? But then later in the day, not a public press conference, okay? John Lynch speaks at a Players for a Purpose event. And David Lombardi of The Athletic is there, and he captures this audio. Again, decide for yourself, is this a veiled shot?
There's been a lot of talk this training camp on who we don't have here. We'll take care of that business, but I'm focused on what we do have here. Debo, and I see these guys work every day, and I know what's about to go down this season. These guys have put in the work. They've committed. It's about stacking days, but it's about the type of days that you stack. Kyle leads these guys along with our coaching staff in a great way. They're going to be prepared for the Jets. They're going to be prepared for this entire season, and it's going to be one heck of a season. I promise you that.
This man just had a 90-person training camp, whittled a roster down to 53, then sent more of them out, brought new players back in. No less than 100 people have come through this camp and worked their butt off on a day-to-day. John named one of them. One of them. Debo Samuel.
It happened to be the one guy Debo. That for a couple of years now, the Niners have been looking at is maybe we have to choose between Debo and Brandon Ayuk at some point. Maybe we have to make that decision. The only other name he brought up was Ayuk's direct competition.
It was almost as if it was like the, it was almost like a Freudian slip. It didn't even fit in his sentence. The word Debo just flew out of his mouth. He was saying something completely different, and he's just like, Debo. It's like word association. I like players who are here working their Debo. It just, woof, just spit it out. I don't know. It feels like, and then they're asking him about Trent. He's like, well, it's amazing when two people really want to get a deal done. It usually happens when both sides want to get a deal done. That was Kyle Shanahan talking about Trent. I don't know. Add that all up and there's something there, right?
Oh, no doubt. And you go even further. John Lynch asked about Trent Williams and he said, quote, there's good communication there. Right. And then the follow-up question was, oh, good communication with Trent. Good communication with Ayuk, John? He says, there's communication. Not good exactly. communication, exactly. but there's communication.
Exactly.
He hasn't ghosted us. He's ghosted us on the practice field, but not all communication.
Yeah. We egged his agent's house the other night. Is that count? That's communication? Yeah. I cussed him out on the phone the other day. Does that count? I mean, there's too much evidence here that the Niners have had it. They've had it. And so, and this is something we were talking about earlier. For each of you to bring it to your house, like what is there in your life where you're like, oof, there'd be a cost if we don't do this anymore. But is it worth the headache? There's not a marriage in America that doesn't go through that, where you're like, oof, oh, like we are not getting along and this does not feel good, but there are kids and there's a home and there's salaries and are we just going to not do it? And you got to decide, like, when is the difficulty no longer worth it? When does the difficulty get to the point where you're like, you know what? The difficulty in and of itself is now causing all of the safe space to no longer be safe, right? Doesn't every marriage therapist say that? The marriage tries to stay together for the kids. And at a certain point, the therapist is like, it's actually worse for the kids if you stay together. So did the Niners get there with Brandon where it's like, we would like to be really good at football this year. That's our goal. We would like to be excellent at football. Well, we're a better team if Brandon Ayuk is on it. This Brandon, does that still work for you at a position that we know damn well? High level, high thinking NFL coaches, they don't value it. Once again, look at their actions. Ask Bill Belichick, when did he make his team about a wide receiver? Ask Andy Reid, when did he make his team about a wide receiver? And ask Kyle Shanahan, when did he make his team about a wide receiver? Let's hear from you. 888-957-9570. Hey, Mike in Santa Clara, you're first up. You're on with Willard and Dibs, except for Dibs isn't here and Grandy's here. Hi, Mike, what's up?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. And Grandy, good to hear from you, man. Always love you, dude.
Nice.
Love you, Grandy.
I think it's time to cut ties in this case. when it comes down to it, you have to look at what the bigger picture is in regards to what is going to make you a better football team. And if I'd had to choose between the two, you can be Justin Jefferson, you could be A.J. Brown, you could be Ja'Marr Chase, you could be Tyreek Hill, you could be any of those guys. But unless you actually don't have a quarterback that can throw you the ball, is going to...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not make you a better receiver in that case. And that's why I'm saying that it's time to cut ties with BA. Trent Williams needs to be the focal point of getting the two signed in this case. If Brock Purdy cannot throw the damn ball with his blind side not being protected with arguably the best left tackle in the league, and especially for the future, what are you going to have? And then it's just going to make BA even more angry at that point.
Right.
I don't care about that. We still have Debo. We still have Kittle. We still have McCaffrey. We have Ricky at that point trying to prove himself. We have Juwan Jennings. We still have, you know, position players that can still make the plays at this point. So I'm just tired of all the drama. Take care of what is important, and that is taking care of Brock Purdy. And in that case, it means Trent Williams needs to be top priority over Brandon Ayuk at that point.
Well,
thanks, guys.
Mike, thanks. I agree completely. Like, here's something about that. And who knows if this factors into what's going on with Trent Williams. But how many seconds would it take if we get a Trent Williams deal? Let's say that broke at 248. We get a Trent Williams deal. How long before we get a call where someone's like, you took care of Trent? How are you not going to take care of Brandon? And that's kind of what I meant by that analogy earlier about my late policy for my students. Why do a lot of you, in my opinion, I feel like a lot of you feel like it's just a rule. We take care of our guys. We drafted them. They're good. We take care of them, period. We give them whatever they want. Why does the rule have to be across the board? Why can't it be selective? Is that not the right of the team to go, actually, this position, we don't value the same way. This player we like, that one we love. This player is imperative, that one's a nice addition. And oh, by the way, this player's negotiating with us like an adult, and this one over here is not. Like, I don't understand the fans who are like, it's just a rule. You draft them, they're good, you take care of them. I don't think it's smart to work it that way.
No, it's not, but I also don't want to downplay Ayuk's importance, because I mean, I know you're not doing that. Obviously, this is a much better team with him, but I mean, you even think back to the Super Bowl, and that was a pretty ugly game to watch offensively, and that was even when you had Ayuk on the team, and Kittle, and McCaffrey, and Deebo. But I know there were some injuries here and there, and that was part of it. But I mean, you replay the Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk, and I know he didn't have necessarily a big game. He could have had a bigger game if maybe some blocks got put down in front of him. But Ayuk makes this offense a whole lot better, and that's where the conversation goes to. It's exactly what you're talking about. How much is worth it? And it's part of the reason why this entire offseason I felt like maybe the best thing for the Niners is just to say, you know what, Brandon, we love you. You're awesome on this team. But unfortunately, the timing of it, we can't give you the contract that you're looking for. You're going to play on your fifth-year deal. Sorry.
You know what's wild, though? I don't disagree with you, but what's crazy, and again, I need to find a way. Maybe y'all can help me. I need to find a way to package this question to Tim Kawakami. I got to find a way to package this question. Because if we follow the reporting arc, Niners offer like 26 back in April or May. That's close. They don't get it done. Amon-Ra deal comes in. Jalen Waddle deal comes in. Brandon gets ticked. Two sides stop talking. Then you get to August, and it's all the trade stuff, speculation. And then you come out of that with, no, we're going to reboot our conversation with one another. And the reports suggest the Niners' offer at least gets to Pittsburgh's offer, which Brandon was prepared to say yes to. And now it just becomes confusing to everyone why he would say no, but he did. But my question lies in if you don't value him, like if you're going to draft two other receivers and you're sort of playing the game of like, we think we can win without you, and Deebo is absolutely imperative to us, why would you have taken the risk of upping the offer to 28 or 29 and having Brandon, who knows, say yes? He could have said yes. And then there would be other questions. I don't think people would be mad at that, but then there would be other questions. What does that mean for Deebo? What does that mean for the two rookies that you just spent all this draft capital on? Something still doesn't add up as far as that is concerned. Let's go to Dylan in Fremont. Hi, Dylan. What's up?
Mark, I just wanted to tell you that I agree with you mostly about the whole Brandon Ayuk situation and the 49ers situation. And I listen to you every day, so, you know, it's pretty much that I disagree with you. And I'm not scared. I have season tickets, and they have a good team. And, you know, the NFC, they better be ready for us to come.
Season tickets, huh, Dylan?
Yeah, I sit in 226.
200 level.
Sits in he sits in 227. And you know what? I have the boxes behind me. I sit at the very top, sir.
Dylan, we'll see you at the game in a couple weeks, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Let's go to David in Denver. Hi, David. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Oh, man, I feel like I'm there as well. Time to cut ties, man. And I say that knowing I know Brandon makes us a better team, man. I appreciate him as a faithful. Like he's been great. I think what I keep coming back to though is like I just can't get away from like the whole like him or his agent or whoever. Just seems like they're not reading the room, man. And what I mean by that is, this ain't the Carolina Panthers or whoever else, man, like where it's like one like superstar trying to get his bag and all the, and what they say, it's like it's widely known. We have a stacked roster of high quality, top notch, like superstar players at multiple positions. And we got a quarterback who's gonna demand quarterback money coming up, the most important position in sports. And so at this point, I don't know how Brandon and his people don't look at that and say, hey, like, unless they were super lowballing me, like, I got to look at the team somehow and realize I'm not a one-man show. I'm not on some dreg of the NFL. I'm on one of the most stacked rosters. Like, to just have some perspective with that, it seems like he doesn't have that, or they or who or his people haven't had that, and so I don't know how to not feel like he's just being a little selfish and a little greedy at this point. It's hard for me to see otherwise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, David, I totally know what you mean, and this is just me talking. Like, if that's the part that bothers you, thanks, David, then cool, that's what bothers you. That's not actually the part that bothers me. I don't ever think that a player in the NFL should be forced to look at it and go, I'm going to take less because my team's good. I just don't think they should have to do that. You are absolutely in your right as an NFL player to ask for every dollar that you can get. The problem with BA is that he exhausted the leverage. He exhausted the process. All of the offers came in. He was allowed some sort of a like truncated free agency for why God knows why, but he was. He was allowed that. He surveyed all the offers. He went to all the teams. He went to TikTok. And he came out of it with nothing. He picked nothing. That's what gets me. I have no issue with Brandon trying to get every dollar, no matter what team he's on. But he got to the end of the journey and picked nothing. And that, for me, is why, in addition to the fact that he's probably overvaluing himself, probably a little bit, and that's fine. We all see ourselves maybe as, I like it when people see themselves as maybe better than they are. It's better than the other way around. I want y'all to have confidence. Nobody wants you moping around, oh, I'm no good. I'm glad that Brandon thinks very highly of himself. That's wonderful. But when you get to the end of the rainbow, you got to stick your hand in the pot of gold or there's no point in going to the end of the rainbow. That's what I'll never understand about this situation.
I think the 49ers probably felt once they finally increased their offer, according to reports, is they were stuck on, what, 26 for, like, months? Once they increased their offer, they probably felt like, all right, this is what's going to get it done. We finally increased our offer. It's now competitive with what Pittsburgh was offering. We're obviously a better team than Pittsburgh. He doesn't dislike being here. This is what's going to get it done. But it obviously didn't. And now you wonder if Aiyuk's camp is feeling, well, we got them to increase a little bit. We just keep holding out. They obviously still want us, and they're willing to pay us a little bit more than they originally were. If we keep holding out, maybe we can squeeze an extra couple million dollars out of this. If they just stood pat at 26, I wonder if the deal wouldn't already be done because Aiyuk and his camp would finally realize there's nothing else we can possibly get out of this. They've already budged once. Maybe they'll budge again.
I don't know that what you're saying is exactly true, but A, if it is, what an ugly characteristic in a person that would paint of Brandon Aiyuk. And B, I will say that something along the lines of what you're talking about, I think is true. I put it this way, I have had enough conversations and read enough to feel that at minimum the Niners and even some objective observers believe that Brandon and his agent have been a pain in this process. They have been a pain. What that says to me is the goalposts keep moving. And I start to get to a point where I'm very turned off by this idea that, like, well, I didn't sign, and now CD got 34, so boop, price goes up, brothers. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. You've been talking for 6 months. First of all, you're not CD Lamb, and please stop telling me, well, if he was given those targets, but he's not. That's not the way life works. You work for who you work for, and you've put up what you've put up, and the context of it matters. I have no idea what he would do with 170 targets. And if he didn't have Debo and Trent and George and Christian all on the field, that's the easy response to everyone who's like, what if Brandon got 170 targets? What if Brandon was the only good offensive player on his team?
He could have found out if he accepted the trade to New England.
Exactly. My bet is it would not look like CeeDee Lamb. It would not look like Justin Jefferson. He's not those guys. You can't tell your company, I'd be happy with blank, and then when they hit blank, you go, whoops, I was happy with it last week. Ha ha, not now. Well, bleep you. That's where we're going to arrive at a certain point. And it feels to me like he's done that at least twice. At least twice. Maybe more. Wilson in the city. Hi, Wilson. Thank you for calling.
Hello. I just want to put my two cents in. It seems that it comes down to Brandon. I don't know what he wants. You know, you get money. You want to play on a good team. You stay. You want to get the money. The offers are out there. Get it. Like, what do you want? At this point, I feel like it's either something personal. He's trying to make a jab towards the Niners, or he's just straight out just trying to be a huge distraction for everybody to focus on him. Because I don't see him being at the value, as Richard said, to CD and these other players. Because if he wanted that, he would have been left. But now it's to the point, I don't blame it. It's just being a nuisance almost. It's a thorn to the side. Like, we're trying to win a Super Bowl. That's the main focus of this. And now we got to deal with you. That don't even know what you want to do. But like we said, be 10 toes with the money. If that's what you want, be that player. Be consistent. So everybody knows B.A. is the guy that wants the money.
Wilson, I appreciate you, man. I mean, here's where I also, my brain's about to go next as we get closer to games. Dude, a week from tonight, we got a game. We got a game. Chiefs and Ravens.
It's a hell of a game.
Oh, my gosh. So good. So good. All right. As we get closer to games, this is where the plot really, really thickens. Every single game, if not every single drive, and I know you, I am one of you. We're all going to be doing the same thing. You're going to watch every single drive, and you're going to be assessing who's winning the negotiation based on that drive. Does the Niner pass game look like crap? Ooh, point BA. Niners go hot knife through butter. Touchdown, opening drive, 7-0 to George Kittle. BA, that's not going to go well for you. And so it adds a new dramatic flair to everything the Niners do when the season opens. I don't know if that's a good thing for them. Probably not. But I've watched these before, you know, and that's how they go. If the Niner offense totally sputters, then BA, that's the only leverage he has. And boy, that's not a bet I would like to make if I were him.
No, he's in an awkward situation where, assuming that the holdout continues and he refuses to practice or play, he has to, if his goal is more money, he has to actively root against the 49ers. If that's what he's trying, like, to get more money, he has to root against them.
Like Barry Zito.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that he's a Niner. That is awkward as hell.
I wonder how much that happens in, like, ways that guys would never admit. Like, does the backup quarterback root for the, you know what I mean? Is Aiden O'Connell like, I hope Minshew looks like crap. Like,
I hope he minorly pulls his hammy, yeah, and gives me a chance. Not a bad injury, but let me get into the game and prove that this is my job.
Every one of them, I never root against my brother. Like, really?
I think it depends on the guy, right? Clipboard Jesus, Charlie Whitehurst, he never wanted to get in the game.
Well, sure. I have long said that backup quarterback is the best job in football.
I think you're the only one to ever say that.
No, it's the best job in football, provided that the starter doesn't get hurt. Can you imagine? All you've got to do is put a uniform on and go watch a game with a really good seat and make like $4 million a year. And you don't have to get hurt at all.
Shout out Jimmy Garoppolo in LA.
Right, you even get one of those fun jerseys at practice that doesn't allow anyone to touch you. I would love to be a backup quarterback. I'd just tell that starter, don't you get hurt. Don't you dare get hurt. I won't go in there. People try to kill me. All right. 888-957-9570. Lots of you want to weigh in. Stay right where you are. Plus, Tim Kawakami, The Athletic, and the TK Pod, part of the Odyssey Network, dialed in like no other. And he will join us on all of this next on Willard and Dibs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.